Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, local, state, national, we are covering down on all of the issues. Listen, as my comments were prepared today, I mean, literally last night I wrote today's monologue because it was still bothering me, the section that we did yesterday on the show, the segment on the southern border. I just called that part of yesterday's Triple Dipper at the border. And I talked about the fact that there was so much going on that is just so egregious that it's hard to gather it up into one segment. I mean, literally, people are dying. And then on top of that, you have the head of the Customs and Border Patrol giving sworn testimony that basically says he acknowledges it's the federal policies causing it. Well, so I did this segment yesterday about the southern border and the massive amounts of illegals that are flooding our southern border, overwhelming our border states, and, oh, by the way, overwhelming the men and women who serve in the Customs and Border Patrol. But like I said, I kicked off the segment playing an audio clip. It was a clip of CBP Chief Raul Ortiz, and it was an audio-video clip of his sworn testimony in a deposition in which he admits that the southern border is overwhelmed. He admits it. I mean, like, we didn't know that, but yet to have an official statement of the fact, well, they've been skirting that forever. So he admitted that. Then he also admitted that is because of a direct result of the Biden policies of non-consequences for illegal immigration. And then he also testified he does agree it is making Americans less safe. Wow. And to my knowledge, by the way, Fox is the only network that ran the story. Go figure. But it got me to thinking. I mean, what do you do when those who are supposed to be guarding you really aren't guarding you? And when those who are supposed to be in charge of your security admit that their own actions are making you less secure. Well, I couldn't help but think of a personal set of circumstances. Let me just describe this for you. When the war in Afghanistan kicked off, I've told some of y'all before on the show, my team was inserted into one of the northern provinces to live among the Afghan people. My team of six had what we called a safe house in the middle of an Afghan town, and a special forces team with 12 members on their team, and they had one additional Air Force combat controller. They had an adjacent safe house. So we were living side by side, but living among the people. But they weren't really safe. They were called safe houses, but they weren't really safe. So we contracted with the local warlord, a guy named General Daoud, and we picked up some of his Mujahideen soldiers. So I wound up with my own guard force of about 12 Afghan Muldoons, and so did the Special Forces guys. So between the two of us, we had our own little army. But I can't say they were all that scary, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if things had gotten pretty hairy, I'm pretty sure that our Afghan guards would have been the first ones to blow out of there, to be honest. I remember on one occasion, rolling up to the gate from being out on patrol in one of our vehicles, and there's one of my Afghan guards. He's standing out in front of the safe house, and I kid you not, he was wearing a blue Hello Kitty sweatshirt. He had on eyeliner and a flower sticking out of the barrel of their AK-47. His name was Kabir. I still remember this to this day. I looked at my interpreter, Hamid, and I said, "Hamid, Kabir over there is not inspiring confidence. Please get that fixed right now." He did. Of my guard force, I fired one guard for falling asleep on guard duty. I fired another one for accidentally discharging his weapon in the middle of the night, which got all of our attention, let me tell you. I fired another one for getting stoned on opium while he was supposed to be on guard duty. That's a whole story in itself. And I fired one of them for stealing shoes. But that one bothered me. It bothered me because I had become aware at that point that these were guys that I was discovering had nothing much to their names, but yet I couldn't allow stealing to go unchecked, so he was gone. But that's when I decided that if this was going to be our guard force, that I had to know their capabilities and know their needs. So one of my guys on my team was designated to be their trainer, and we quickly learned it was some of the first real training they'd ever had. We made sure that our Afghan cook, his name was Saki, our Afghan cook didn't scrimp on the food for the guards, and it was probably some of the most consistent eating they had ever done in their entire lives. We had a dozen of these dudes, all using one outhouse, and it was getting more ripe by the day, so I used team funds to dig them a full-size brick-lined two-hole outhouse, and they were just stoked over that one. And at one point, I called them all out into formation for an inspection, but only four of them showed up with weapons, and I said, "Where are their weapons?" I asked my interpreter, and he says, "Sir, this is all they have. They've been switching off who holds them when they're on duty." I didn't realize it because we had four guard posts, and every time I saw somebody on a guard post, they were manned with weapons. They were just handing it off to the next guy on the shift. So we got them more weapons. Then my interpreter asked me one day if we could get them some basic things. Like what, I asked. Well, it turns out their real boss, General Daoud, well, he was supplying them nothing. Some of them only had sandals. No one had hygiene supplies. They needed blankets. They needed clothing. So you know what? I sent my interpreter to the bazaar. And by that evening, every one of my Afghan dudes was wearing clean undershirts. They had four pairs of new socks. They all had their own hygiene kits with toothbrushes, soaps, and towels. And every one of those men, let me tell you, every one of those guys was sporting a brand new set of black Nike high-top basketball shoes. I have no idea why a bazaar in Kunduz, Afghanistan had so many pairs of swoosh-labeled shoes. But my guys were sporting them, man, and they felt like $1 million. At that point, they were still a bit of a rabble, but by God, they were my rabble. And I believe at that point they would have done anything for our team. But there's the bottom line. They were my guys. When we left, I believe that they were more our guys than they were General Daoud's. I did all that to make sure that they knew that I knew that they were important, that they had what it took to make doing their job more workable, more efficient, safer, and honestly more fulfilling. So here's the thing. Our men and women in the Customs and Border Patrol, the CBP, those are our men and women. Those are our Guard Force members. They are our folks. They are our first line of defense. And right now, they are getting nothing from the ones that I would have thought would be taking care of them. They're in a thankless, no-win situation with the Biden administration doing nothing for them. It's like General Daoud with my Guard Force. Well, like Daoud, President Biden sent the CBP out to do a hard job, but he supplied no follow-up logistics, no moral support, no indication that he's even aware of their needs. Well, listen, I'm so frustrated with our southern border, I could spit nails. It's a debacle. It's a mess of the highest order, and people are literally dying because of it. It's a policy issue. It's something that could be fixed. But my angst is not directed to the men and women who wear the green uniform of the CBP. I know that they have a job that no one else wants right now. So I want to go on the record right now, and I hope that someone somewhere is able to find a way to get this message to them. That the men and women of the CBP, they are ours. They are our guard force, and they are appreciated. And if your boss won't give you what you need, we're going to find a way to let you know we appreciate you. And my sincere hope is that one day soon, we will see a change in the dynamic. That those who work the southern border, who hung on through this dark time, will be rewarded for their faithfulness and their dedication to duty. So listen, here's the deal. If you know someone in the CBP, then you tell them that regardless of their boss's inability to give them what we need, that they need, we know the situation. We see it. The border is not of their doing, and we know that. And we, the people, we will help them get this fixed. We need to let them know that we know that they are ours, and we will take care of them and give them what they need to make their jobs more workable, more efficient, safer, and honestly, more fulfilling. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, listen, it's a thankless job with those folks. Truly, I mean, you talk about support the blue. Well, in this case, we got to support the green. Those folks are out there every day putting it on the line, doing all they can, and really doing things that they never knew they were going to have to do. And they're doing it to the best of their ability, and they're getting nothing from on high. We got to do it for them. We got to take care of them. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. We got a whole slate of stuff. Stay tuned.